Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, we are continuing with our 2020 vision focus over the month of June. And if you're new to our church, every year at this time of the year, in the month of June, we have a focus on generosity and giving towards the ongoing building of God's house here at Horizon Church. And of course, those of you who've been around for a long time, you will know that part of that was many years ago. A number of years ago, the church had a huge upgrade, which is, of course, the beautiful auditorium that you get to sit in today, and of course kids facility and a whole bunch of things, excuse me, and of course we are on a journey of paying down debt and believing that we are going to be at a place very, very soon where the vast majority of our resource is able to be invested into ministry, and that's happening slowly but surely. So of course on your seats and around you is our 2020 vision brochure. And that 2020 vision brochure just gives you a bit of an understanding as to the journey that we have been on. And of course, there's a couple of graphs in there. And next week, Sunday, Roger Head, who is one of our board members, he'll be here and he'll be doing a little bit of a financial presentation for those of you who love the world of finance and help you to know a little bit more in detail as to what God's been doing in our church in the past 12 months. And it has been amazing. It has been miraculous. And so we are very, very thankful to God. So, of course, coming up on the 23rd of June is our 2020 vision offering. And that'll be across all of our services. But just whilst you're beginning to pray and prepare for that, one of the things I just wanted to draw your attention to inside the brochure is the actual give card. And so these brochures are for you. You can take them. Then, of course, there's two ways that we give. The first is in the blue section, and that is that's our one-off faith offering that people give. And then in the orange section is the faith promise. So that's people who are completing their faith promise for the past 12 months and those who are engaging in a faith promise for the next 12 months. And but, of course, that's all there in the card. And last but not least, just to help you as well, the give in this part of our church or this season in our church, there is tax deductible giving that's available. And so all you need to do in the foyer at the reception desk is our finance manager, Stephen Lamb, he'll be available. Plus two of our board members will be there as well this morning to assist you. And those people are Andrew Mills and Lloyd Thomas. And so they'll be there to answer any questions that you may have around this miracle give that we are believing God for. Can you say amen? There you go. Good stuff. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God today. I love my Bible. Can you say amen? There you go. 1 Kings chapter 17. Today I am going to preach a message called A Word, A Widow, and a Wonder. A Word, A Widow, and a Wonder. 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 1, whilst you're turning there, I'm going to pray. So, Father, we just thank you for the Word this morning. Thank you that your Word brings life, health, healing. Lord, your Word brings direction and strength to your life. So we ask that you would unpack and unlock your Word. Thank you for revelation today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 says, "And Elijah," so this is the first time we are introduced to the prophet Elijah in the Bible. "And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded Uber Eats to feed you.'" Anyone who uses Uber Eats. Verse 5. "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. and he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. That is an unusual story right there, but it worked. And bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So let me just give you some context to the story. It's the first time in the Bible that the prophet Elijah appears on the scene. King Ahab is married to a lady that a lot of people kind of know her name. He is married to a person by the name of Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel have turned the hearts of God's people away from worshiping the Almighty God to the worship of Baal. They have got rid of all the prophets in the land, and slowly but surely, Ahab and Jezebel are on a mission, on a journey to turn God's people away from worshiping him to worshiping false gods. God raises up a prophet by the name of Elijah. Elijah goes before King Ahab and he says to King Ahab, there shall be no rain nor dew on the land except at my word. And he leaves. Over time, what he said slowly but surely started to become true. There was no rain in the land, and Ahab goes on a journey to find this man, Elijah, whom he called a troublemaker. But God hides Elijah at a brook called Cherith. We know Bible teachers tell us that Elijah was at the brook Cherith for approximately 1 year. And so for 1 year, morning and evening, the ravens would come and they would bring to him bread, they would bring to him meat, and the next day, bread, meat, evening, bread, meat. And for 1 whole year, he stayed at the brook Cherith. Now, stay with me, because this morning what I want to do is I want to give to you 3 faith encouragements that are going to help us to prepare in faith as we prepare to give. Now, I want you to notice that Elijah is in the will of God. He is doing exactly what God asked him to do. But at the brook Cherith, over a period of time, as there was no rain in the land, eventually the brook dried up. The very thing that was supposed to sustain him and help him through the drought has now dried up. Could it be that you could be in the will of God and the things that God has sent you to sustain you can actually dry up over time? I looked at this and I thought to myself, but he is the God who abundantly supplies. He's the God of more than enough. Why would God send the prophet to a location which a brook was supposed to, or a brook was supposed to sustain him and nourish him, has now dried up, but he is in the middle of the will of God? Could it be at times in our finances and in the journey that God takes us on that there are certain things where God will bless you for a season, but there comes a time where something dries up? 3 things. Number one today, God's provision is forever, but his method of provision is temporary. God's, come on, write it down now, because paper and your iPhone has better memory than you. God's provision is forever, but his method of provision is temporary. Just because, come on, I'm prophesying over someone this morning, just because the brook has dried up does not mean that God does not have a plan to resource you. Watch what the scripture says, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Watch this, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, in the middle of something drying up, God always has a word to sustain you and to shift you and to move you to a new location because He is the God of abundance. Now, stay with me. The will of God is never static. There's always movement. The call of God is in stages. We go from step to step. We walk in this direction and God adjusts some things. How many of you ever thought that one day you might be living in the city of Sydney? How many of you ever thought that you'd be living in the nation of Australia? The will of God shifts and changes and moves. Now, here's a question. Surely God could have sustained him at the brook called Cherith. Surely, because if you actually look at the word Cherith means cutting or cut. That was the finger of God that cut that brook to sustain. Surely the Almighty God could have sustained him in that location. Why is it that we find ourselves at times in the will of God, in the middle of God, where God wants it? He cut it, He made it happen, but it's dry. Because it brings us to this place, and that is, let's never get so caught up in the bucket that we forget the fountain. We can get caught up in what's sustaining and what's helping and the sales deal and the great connection that God set up for us in business or whatever sphere of influence you're involved in. That's the bucket, but it's not the fountain. The fountain is always Almighty God. Can you say amen? Come on. Because it's provoking us to ask ourselves this question. Is our eyes or are our eyes still on the Lord? Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, and my God, not the brook called Cherith. Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. By who? By Christ Jesus. Can you say? Good job. God's provision is forever, but His method of provision is temporary. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. The word comes to shift him, to move him to a new sphere of influence, a new place of faith. Arise, go to Zarephath and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. God sends him to an unusual source, to a poor widow. I mean, we're not talking about a rich widow. If God sent him to a rich widow, well, it's kind of like makes sense that, you know, there's resource, there's blessing, there's help. God sends him to an unusual source, to a poor widow. And sadly, in the times, the widows at time were neglected and they were the poorest of the poor. Now, I have a problem with this because God is sending the man of God to somebody who has no resource. We need to put the brakes on here. Something's not right. God sends him to someone who they or that person in and of themselves has limitation, lack, and, well, there's no resource. Well, he goes, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 10, and he called to her. So he goes to Zarephath. It was about, we could say, about 120-kilometer journey. He goes to this poor widow, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup. That's a, you know, reasonable request. He's thirsty. He's been walking a long distance that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Well, you know, reasonable request. He's hungry. After you walk 120 kilometers, you're going to be hungry. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, here we go. I am gathering. Look at her assets. She really doesn't have much. Little water, handful of flour, little oil. I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. This is a great woman of faith. This is a challenge that seems unreasonable. God takes him from a brook, sends him to a poor widow, and he's like, could I have some of your food? And against all parental instinct, the woman is asked to give to Elijah for him to eat first before eating, or before her son and herself eat. Have a look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. Did Elijah not hear the situation this lady's in? And he's like, you gotta feed me first. Either he's a hungry brother or God is up to something. He wants it first. Now, this is real to life. Imagine a new family comes and joins our church. Mum and dad, little kid, let's say, get involved in our kids program. And I say, Pastor Tim, I've met this new family at the door. I'd love it if you could go and visit them this week. Pastor, oh, I'd love to. I'll go and visit them, Pastor Brett. He goes there and realizes these people, they're in major lack. And all they've got in the house is a piece of bread, a tin of Milo, and it's got one teaspoon of Milo in there. So Tim's looking around. He's loving the people. He's been kind. And he says to them, hey, I'm a little hungry. Do you think I could have that piece of bread? And they say, well, Pastor Tim, we love that you've come over, but this is the last piece of bread we've got. And he says, I know, but I'm really hungry. I notice the tin of Milo that you've got there as well. Well, you know, Pastor Tim, this is the last bit of Milo we've got left. I know, but I really like Milo. Milani makes it for me every day. And he takes the teaspoon of Milo. How many of you know when Tim calls me up and gives me a pastoral report on how the visitation went, and he says to me, Pastor Brad, this family, man, they are in a difficult situation. All they had was one slice of bread and one teaspoon of Milo. And I say, well, what did you do? I said, I want to eat it first. How many of you know that's not a good phone call right there? And that's exactly the situation that this woman, this widow, finds herself in. This is a real mum with a real son. And she's called to a place called faith. Not just faith, she's called to a place called great faith. This is one of the heroes of the Bible, an unknown widow who didn't have much, but she was willing to listen to a word from God and step out in great faith. One commentator said this was faith of the true sort, heroic faith, a faith that asks no questions. God always wants to be first. The first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. Amen. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be poured into your lap. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is not number two. He's not number three. He's not number four on the list. He is always first. We believe that Jesus is our Savior. I know that Jesus is my Savior. I'm born again. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I know that He is my Savior. But He's not just my Savior. He is also my Lord. All to Jesus I surrender. He is my Savior, and He's also my Lord. Here's my point for this. Number two, God will never ask you for more than what you have. 5 loaves, 2 fish. In fact, I wanted 7 loaves and 19 fish. God will never ask you for more than what you have, but He will ask you for all that you have, because He is Savior and He is Lord. Everything that you have, you are in fact a steward of. Because if He is our Lord, if He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are merely stewards of the blessing of God. So good. Number three, she did what seemed unreasonable. Whoo! But God gave this lady of great faith. He gave to her the impossible. Elijah speaks to her and prophesies and says in verse 14, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." She receives a word, now she has to act it out in faith. The difference between hope and faith is really merely the act, okay? Hope is a desire. Faith is always an action. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. This plane is gonna land today, people. Trust me. So she went and did according to the word of the Lord. What an incredible mom. What an incredible woman of faith. She put God first. She went and did according to the word of the Lord. I want to meet this lady in heaven one day, and I'm going to high five her, and then I'm going to high five with this hand, and I'm going to like, lay hands on me. Come on, church, you can laugh. It's all good. God is good. She did according to the word of the Lord. What a beautiful statement. She went and did according to the word of the Lord. Is that our faith, heart, and action that we're coming into this season with? Do we see this season as a burden, or do we see it as an opportunity once again as mums and dads, as individuals, as young people and young adults to say, God, You are first. She went and did according to the word of the Lord. May that be what people say of your life and my life, that one day when we will go and be with Him, they will say of you, she went and did according to the word of the Lord. Come on, that's from the Holy Spirit right there. She went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she, watch this, and he, whew, and her whole household ate for many days. The bowl of flour. Come on, here she is. This is all she had. She had a bowl of flour and a jar. This is all she had. Her and her household ate for many days. I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. The bowl of flour was not exhausted. Come on, the bowl of flour was not exhausted. Come on, we can put God to the test. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty. According to the word of the Lord, which He spoke through Elijah, every day she would go, and somehow supernaturally, there's more flour. The next morning she goes, There's more flour. She needs, I mean, this right here. This is Baker's Delight on steroids. It's just never runs out. Every single day, the blessing and the favor of God, it just kept flowing and flowing and flowing. And in God's economy, not only did he meet Elijah's need, not only did he meet her need, not only did he meet her son's need, everybody, come on church, everybody in her sphere of influence was blessed. She became a channel and a conduit of blessing. Why? Because she acted according to the word of the Lord. Now watch this. I love momentary blessings. Momentary blessings. Who's got a good friend that likes paying for lunch or breakfast? Give me a wave. All right, you guys need some better friends. Momentary blessing. Just boom, have a bit of lunch. Hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to pay for the ramen today. Amen. So good. There you go. I heard that, Tim. Moment. You got to come on, let him who has ears to hear. This was not momentary blessing. This was not at the time, in the hour, for the day. The book of James speaks to this story. And it says about Elijah, James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed that it would not rain on the land. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. If Elijah was at the brook Cherith for 1 year, how long was the supply of flour and oil? 2.5 years. This was not momentary blessing. This was seasonal. Could God release something over our church as we prepare to give that's not just for a moment, not just to get us through the next 12 months, not just for the next 3 months or 6 months, but who has faith to say God can do something that's seasonal in nature, that not only affects 2019, not only influences 2020, not only impacts 2021, but a decade of harvest in the Holy Spirit is upon us. Because it's not just, that is over 900 days where this woman of great faith went to the bowl, went to the jar of oil, and every said for night, folks, 2.5 years of ongoing supply is absolutely miraculous and incredible. Every single day she opened up the cupboard and there was food. Seasonal blessing. Because there was a woman who said, I will be a person of great faith. I don't know if you've ever experienced seasonal blessing. Come on, this is what we're stepping into. As a church, we're stepping into not just for the moment, not just for the month, not just for that year. What's been released, come on, I'm going to prophesy it, is seasonal in nature. When Alison and I planted a church back in the day in Perth, Perth, Western Australia, was going through a mining boom. You don't move from one city, Adelaide, where everything just doesn't change, it's steady, doesn't go up, doesn't go down, maybe 1, 2% stays the same. Perth, WA, was going crazy. And the Holy Spirit says, go and plant a church. And I'm like, Lord, this is a tough ask. I like you and everything. And we have been good friends for a long time. But you're asking me to go to a city that's in a mining boom to plant a church. I do not have the resource. But the challenge is, will God be first? He's my Savior and He is my Lord. And we knew that God was speaking to us. And the more I read scriptures, the scriptures were just like, plant a church. Every time I read it, plant a church. I'm like, I can't escape this. And God was shifting me geographically. Well, we prepare to go to Perth, and I don't know exactly how all the resources are going to work out. Thank God I was a youth pastor once. Because one of my young guys, his name is David, I won't say his surname. David was a uni student when I was a youth pastor, and God blessed him. He's now based in Singapore. He's a superstar in business, blessed to be a blessing. David had done so well that he decided, I'm gonna buy houses all across Perth. He bought houses. And he calls me up one day and he says, hey Brad, I heard you're planning a church in Perth. I said, yes, I am. He goes, well, I've got a house. It's a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom. I wanna give it to you rent-free for 6 months. Do you want it? I said, let me pray about that. The Lord says, yes. It wasn't just momentary blessing. It was seasonal blessing. I couldn't have planned that. I couldn't have orchestrated, and neither would I've asked him for it, because I'd probably feel a bit rude. But God knew, because what God wants to know, if you're willing to put him first, if you're willing to engage with him first, if you're willing to act according to the word of the Lord first, what God's about to do is release you into something that's not just going to sustain you for the next 2 or 3 weeks. It is seasonal in nature. For people who, like this lady, saying, I am willing to do something in unreasonable. Number three, she did what seemed unreasonable, but God gave to her the impossible. Unreasonable and faith are related to each other. They're best of friends. They're inseparable. Whenever you see unreasonable and faith, they are like, boom, besties. But it's what church, it's what releases the impossible. It's what releases things that you cannot orchestrate in your own strength. Now, you can do it in your own strength, but I prefer to do it God's way. I choose grace. I choose the breath of the Spirit. I choose the wind of the Holy Spirit moving me. I choose the breath of Almighty God. If we're willing to put him first. Father, we thank you, Lord, for pouring out your Spirit upon us today. Thank you for fresh oil from heaven. Thank you, Lord, for fresh manna today, the manna that comes from you. Lord, we receive your word, and we receive your life, and we receive the challenge of heaven today into our hearts and spirits in Jesus' name. If we could just look this way just for a moment. I've put out a challenge today about putting God first. You know, there are many things in our lives that can be first, many things that can lead us that are first. Everyone has a first. There is not a person in this room who does not have a first. The challenge for us today, and some that may be in the room, is, have you ever put God first in your heart? But this is what I can promise you. God, right throughout the Bible, he declares himself in various ways. He declares himself as a good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? It leads the sheep, protects, it guards, guides. He declares himself as shelter. That is, when you need to find covering, you need a place of safety, the Lord says, I am your shelter. He declares himself also as the Lord who forgives. That is, when we have sinned and we do things that are not pleasing in God's sight, he has so much grace and love and forgiveness that he forgives us of our sins. The question is, will you put that God first? Something will always be first. The question is, will it be Jesus Christ? We're going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer that invites Jesus to be first, that He would be the captain of our souls. Because your ship is going somewhere. I want an eternal God who knows me, who knows the future, who knows my heartache, who knows my pain, and who can guard me and protect me better than anyone else to be first. We're going to pray this prayer and invite Jesus to come into our hearts and forgive us of our sins and to give Him lordship over our lives. Maybe you've never prayed this prayer before. Maybe you did a long time ago, but you've disconnected from the love of God. And today is a word for someone. God is calling you home. It's time to put Him first. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my friend, be my Savior. I choose today to put you first. I receive your forgiveness, your love, and your complete acceptance. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're putting God first today, prayed that prayer for the first time, or you did a long time ago and you're reconnecting with His love. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. The reason why I want you to lift up your hand is so that I can see you. I want to pray for you. There's a few trusted people here in the church who are also helping me to look around as well. And sometimes it's difficult to see everybody in the auditorium. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you did a long time ago, I'm going to ask you to raise up your hand. Here you go. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. If you pray, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Really appreciate it. That's four people up there. Once I've seen your hands, you can put it straight back down. Is there anyone else? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Let's put Him first. In the beginning, God. Anyone else? Just a few more seconds. I do need to move on with the rest of our meeting. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. So, so good. Awesome. I see your hand as well. God bless you first. That's awesome. Who else is there? Come on, that's five people so far who said, I'm putting Jesus first. Anyone else? Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. So, so good. That's five people who've raised their hands. Why don't you be the sixth, and then we'll move on. Anyone else? Today, He is first in Jesus' name. Awesome. Now, we said we're going to pray for these people. Church, are you ready to pray? Come on. I hope the temperature in the auditorium is not sending you to sleep, because I can feel coziness happening right now. It's like I need a good couch right now. Are you ready to pray? Lord Jesus, thank you for these beautiful people. Thank you for life transformation. Thank you that we are born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that death, sin, sickness is defeated today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for life transformation, that you translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your Son, whom you love. We declare blessing over these people. We declare new beginnings. Thank you that the Word of God says, if any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We speak and declare these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Church, just look this way. Can we give, in fact, all of those people who raised their hand firstly, a great clap. So, so good. I want to honor you, I want to bless you. Thank you for your boldness and your faith. At the end of the service, someone's going to come up to you. We've got an awesome gift that we want to give to you. It's the Gospel of Mark from the Bible in the Passion Translation. Someone's going to just come over to you, encourage you, give you this gift and answer any questions that you may have and also pray for you if you'd like that as well. So, so good. Church, I believe that this offering, this great faith, widow at Zarephath offering that we're coming to God is calling us to not just see something that we do every single year, but to engage in something in faith. And so I want to ask you this week if you could go away and pray and lay a hold of the scriptures, read the story that I've been digesting all week, and just allowing faith to enter. How's faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, okay? So we grab a hold of the Word and we allow faith to enter our soul and spirit. This offering is so significant for the future of our church. There's an army that God is raising up. It's a tipping point, it's a change that's happening in our church, and I'm asking all of us to partner in what God is calling, not just to something that is momentary, but something that releases seasonal blessing over our church in Jesus' wonderful name. So good. Well, my sermon is done. It's now 10:48 a.m. and I don't know what to do. So I think it's because, you know what, we've got this big cheese thing happening out there, and so while I've been preaching, I'm like, cheese, cheese, cheese. Just kidding. Hey, come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. So, so good.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.